You meditate for 10 minutes, feel briefly peaceful, then walk straight into a stressful email and react exactly the way you always do. Sound familiar, Matthew? Here is the uncomfortable truth. A major systematic review found only moderate evidence that mindfulness programs produce small improvements in anxiety and depression. Small, not transformative, not permanent. That gap between the promise and the reality has a name, the passive calm fallacy. It is the mistake of treating meditation like a 10-minute vacation rather than a training ground for how your mind operates the other 23 hours and 50 minutes of the day. Think of it like going to the gym only to lie on a massage table. You showed up. You were technically there, but nothing got stronger. Research makes a sharp distinction between two very different mental moves: monitoring your experience and accepting your experience. Monitoring means noticing what is happening inside you. Acceptance means not automatically escalating or obeying what you notice. In a pre-registered randomized trial, participants trained in both monitoring and acceptance reported larger reductions in daily stress than those trained in monitoring alone. The acceptance component specifically drove fewer occasions of feeling stressed in daily life. That means the calm you are chasing is not the goal. It is a byproduct of a much more active skill. Now, here is the mechanism that explains why your brain keeps pulling you back toward anxiety, even during a quiet sit. Your default mode network, the brain's background processing system, is highly active whenever you are not focused on a specific task. It rehearses regrets, anticipates threats, and runs social simulations. Mindfulness practice does not switch this off. What it does is train what researchers call response latency, the gap between a stressful stimulus and your reaction to it. For example, your phone buzzes with a difficult message. Without practice, the reaction is nearly instantaneous: tension, a sharp reply, a spike of cortisol. With trained response latency, you notice the tension first, you label it, you choose. A randomized trial involving people with generalized anxiety disorder found that mindfulness training was associated with lower stress reactivity during a laboratory stress challenge. The key idea is not that the stress disappeared. It is that the trained practitioners had more space before they responded. This is where the reactivity reset framework becomes practical, Matthew. The framework has three moves, and you can run them in under 30 seconds. First, notice the activation, the tightening, the urge, the spike. Second, label it without judgment: stress response, irritation, urgency. Third, choose your next action deliberately rather than automatically. The no exclusion rule applies here. Every annoying interruption, every frustrating colleague, every slow driver qualifies as practice material. You do not get to reserve mindfulness for quiet mornings. The research supports this directly. The practical task is to notice thoughts, emotions, and bodily sensations without automatically escalating or obeying them. A useful operational test is not whether your mind went quiet. It is whether awareness and choice increased before your next reaction. One more thing worth saying plainly: mindfulness is not harmless for everyone. Research has documented adverse effects, including physical discomfort in a meaningful percentage of novice practitioners. If you have significant anxiety, depression, or trauma symptoms, this practice does not replace appropriate clinical care. That is not a disclaimer. It is part of practicing honestly. The takeaway for you, Matthew, is this: stop measuring your practice by how calm you felt during it. Start measuring it by how much latency you created before your next difficult reaction. Mindfulness, practiced correctly, is not a retreat from the complexity of your life. It is a high-resolution lens you point directly at that complexity in real time. Pair attention training with acceptance, not monitoring alone. And you shift from using meditation as a pressure valve to using it as a decision-making upgrade. The reactivity reset framework you now have is the entry point. In the next lecture, we move outward from your own mind to your relationships, and you will see how the same mechanism, noticing before reacting, becomes a tool for social intelligence through what we will call the interdependence lens. The operating system is the same. The application gets more demanding.